Blog Talk Radio.
Mickey Thompson from Bowman's Tires carries all the specialty tires you need for street, strip, track, and off-road cars. They pride themselves on providing you with the best performance tires in the world. Mickey Thompson Performance Tires are available at a number of retail locations, such as Performance Plus, Jags, and McCormick Racing. For more information, log on to www.mickeythompsontires.com. Once again, www.mickeythompsontires.com. Are you new to social networking? Well, Grudge Inc. has got a new site coming soon. Grudgebook will allow you to catch up and lock in with other grudge racers, find out about all the latest events, view the latest photos, create your own blogs, and so much more. In 2013, Grudge Inc. takes on the social networks. So get ready to register and lock in. Grudge Inc. Grudgebook. Grudge Inc. is taking it to another level. Coming in 2013, all of your auto performance needs can be found in one location. Grudge Inc. will be launching an online auto parts store catering specifically to your auto performance needs, being available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store wants to be your number one online shop site. 2013, get ready for Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store. More details to follow soon.
Sorry, but your call cannot be
received. The number you have dialed has not been registered.
Grudge Inc. Saturday night, what's happening? I'm wondering if that race is going on in Milan or not. If they got rained out or if they got it going, man. Big news, man. We got Big Swag coming in tonight. We're going to get him on the phone in a few minutes. Get our co-host in here at the same time because I don't want no one to miss anything. How's it going out there? All over the country, it's been nice and sunny and hot, high 80s, low 90s out here. Sorry, that's just the way it is. We got a good show tonight. Like I said, we got Big Swag coming in. We're going to have updates from Milan, hopefully, if they're racing. I texted earlier and they were. So I don't know if they're still out there getting after it or not. But we will find out shortly. What we're going to do right now is we're going to get our guest online right now. See if he's ready to come in. We got a lot to get to. He's a great guy. I know you guys have watched Pastime, and it was a great show. I hope they bring that show back, and we'll see what's going to happen, man. Let me ring him in right now. And trying to get this set up here. I'm not good at working this phone line. Too many buttons and switches and all that stuff like that. We'll see. Let me get him right now. Give me 1 second, everybody.
Sorry, but your call cannot be completed.
The number you have dialed has not been recognized.
Please try again.
Wow, what was up with that? Figure out what that's all about. Maybe he's trying to call me. But either way, we'll get him in. (708) 5800, who's this?
What's going on, brothers? This is Big Smitty from Set on Kia Racing.
What's going on, baby? Out. Tell me something good out there.
Man, I'm at Grudging Racing Michigan. Milan, Michigan is a good race, good turnout. That's a good racing going on today.
No rain, huh?
Yeah, it's raining now. It's sprinkling now at the end of the track. Set on Kia made it showing at the track out here.
Well, at least you got some racing in.
Huh?
I said, at least you got some racing in.
Oh, yeah, they got a lot of racing in. They did the qualifiers and the shootouts and all that. Jimbo looked good down here. Tate the Great, Leak and Leon, Three Love, Fonz, Diz. Everybody's in the house.
Oh, good deal, man.
Ground the Pound's in the house. Danye in the house, too.
How's the business return back up to the north?
Huh? Oh, they own them.
You knew they would be.
Huh?
You knew they would be. They were going to cut him no slack.
Yeah, but then Peso got a good video of it in Peso and Detroit Hood TV.
Oh, nice. So you got it up already,
videos.
Huh?
I'm not for sure. It might be on Facebook. I'm not for sure. But I know they had a good party yesterday, too, and they reached the track yesterday, too. He's out here yesterday. Hello?
Oh, very good, man. Very good. I'm here. I'm listening.
Yeah, we got a nice amount of cars here and good spectators. Plenty of fans out here and good food.
Hey, Brett, there you are. I'm going to bring you in a second, okay?
I just want to give you an update, Grudge World, and I'm going on mute.
Okay, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, brother.
All right. You have a good time out there. Well, that's what's happening. It's raining in Milan. Slowed down. But it's all good. They'll get after it. But speaking of racing, I got somebody on the line right now. You guys know him as Brett Wagner. Out here in Cali, we know him as Big Swag. Brett Wagner, what's up, my brother? Oh, good deal, man. You know, I was going over all that stuff on Facebook about the street racing, the Oklahoma guys. And, you know, that's something that we got to handle and take care of. And I want everybody listening, because Grudging is not into the street racing. And when these guys put out these fake-ass shows, like you said, man, it gets the kids all wound up in it. And they take mom's car and dad's car, wrap it around a tree, or put somebody else into a tree.
Wound up to get them excited about going out on the street. And even John Force, you know, a lot of these guys, when I was talking to John Force today down at the high school drags in Fontana, where they're trying to get the kids to the track and get the schools and the shop, you know, the schools and their auto shops back involved with drag racing. And he, you know, 40 years ago he was racing in the streets, and he saw a couple accidents, and then he just decided that he was going to work his butt off to save some money and get to the track and become what he's become. And if we can get these kids off the street, because it's not, look at, you know, best case scenario, you just kill yourself. But what usually happens is some lady's backing out of her driveway and they kill that lady, you know, or they hit people sitting there watching, you know, the races. And it's just a bad thing to be putting out there, and I don't begrudge these guys for making money and doing what they're doing, but they should, you know, they're racing on closed streets that are blocked off because Discovery Channel is not stupid. They're not going to have get a lawsuit if someone got killed on the street or someone was, as we said, backing out of their driveway. So they're racing on closed stuff, you know, whether it's airports or streets, and where nobody, no civilian has a chance of getting hurt. But, you know, they don't tell you that on the TV, and that's just, to me, is you're just asking for someone to get hurt, and I just think it's irresponsible, and I wish, you know, if they're going to continue the show, which it's getting ratings because it's just not, you know, I wish they would say, you know, this is what happens, but other than that, I wish these guys would, I mean, they got massive horsepower in those cars. I'd like to see them go to the track, and they can continue their show and take it to the track.
You know, and I agree 1,000%. Here's what my concern is. How come they don't put a disclaimer on there and say, you know, that this isn't actual racing or it's, you know, we know it's a show. But here's where my thing is. Nobody's really caught on that when they're doing these street racing out there, these tall lights that run the length of the track or the street that they're on, and they can't figure that out. Now, you've been doing enough street races as I have and everybody listening. It's pretty much pitch dark where you go. That's why we go there. This street's all lit up like broad daylight. Not a cop around. And there, according to these guys, when they were out in California, they did 6 races out here and no one chased them off. Yeah, we know what's happening there. Their security was the highway patrol. But that's okay.
Well,
like I said.
Listen, the guys are making money. You know, it's drawn interest again. I think it's the wrong interest. Like I said, we, you know, grudge racing, which you guys focus on, and is kind of gone wild the last couple of years, and you know, and it's taken the street racing, it's taken to the track. And man, if you have, you know, if these folks. I've been lucky enough where I've been flying out of town and I've been doing an appearance somewhere and someone will tell me there's a big race at a small track somewhere or a big track and they got some grudge racing going on. And when you get to go down to these, see a grudge racing at a track and there's 10,000 people, you know, or 5,000 people in the stands to see a couple guys race. And I mean, you know, it could be there, they could be there for, there's everybody's racing, but they're there for a couple guys, you know, some names that are out there, and there's some money flying around, and the action is hot, man. There's nothing like it. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, out here, because, Brett, I'm just down the road from you. I live in San Pedro, the L.A. Harbor area.
Yeah.
And you, I'm sure you've heard of Terminal Island.
Of course.
Well, we've been trying to get Terminal Island up and bumping, but you know what's anything? Politics, they tell you one thing, they do something else. Everything before the election is, yeah, we're going to do it, we're going to do it, we're going to do it. After the election, you don't even get a hello. Hey, I know that guy, nothing. And there's a guy named Donald Galaz with the Brotherhood of Street Racers. He's got this whole nonprofit set up. Money for all the money from the track goes to the I hate saying this word, but I don't want to say lower class. I want to say less fortunate. For Thanksgiving, Christmas, holidays, so these kids have something to open up on Christmas morning. He's got it all planned out, and it falls on deaf ears. If we were to get that track open up, the street racing in the South Bay would eventually fall away. It would go away. I shouldn't say go away, but about 75% of it would go away. And I want to, he's online right now. I want to bring him in real quick. Donald, you there?
Hey, Dale, how you guys doing out there?
Hey, Donald, we got Brett Wagner.
Yeah, I heard that. That's cool. Hey, man, good to hear that you're on the show, and it's a good thing for what you're doing for the sport and the industry, period. you put a hell of a show on, and I tune in a lot just to watch what you're doing and what you're going to say next. So.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Right on. Yeah, we're continuing the battle. We went to the Edelbrock car show, revved up for kids today, out in Torrance. We were, seeking more signatures for our petition, and we pulled in approximately 300 signatures today, and we also got the endorsement from Vic Edelbrock himself, and we also got an endorsement from Gene Winfield from Winfield Customs. So we're moving forward, and today when we're out at the Edelbrock scene, there was a lot of non-deaf ears there that were actually listening to us, and we didn't even have to go into the whole spiel of why we wanted to open the Terminal Island Raceway back up again, because exactly what we're all talking about right now, we got these TV shows that are glamorizing stuff that are not even actual shows. Out here in Los Angeles and all over the United States, there's real hardcore underground street racers. These guys do it because that's what they like to do. We got a lot of young, unorganized youngsters around here that are the ones that unfortunately are the statistic that the news is constantly reporting. A couple of weeks ago, we had another young lady that got crashed involved in an illegal street race, and they ran the car right up underneath the rear of a tow truck, and now this young woman's gone. Could we have prevented it? Possibly. Maybe we could have if we had more facilities. We need more tracks, not only in Los Angeles, but throughout, Southern California, period. There should be tracks all over the place. Like Tail said, 75% of the street racing has stopped when the track was open, when Terminal Island was open. So, we're just going to keep continuing the battle. I mean, I'm getting ready to go before City Hall to the City Council, and I want to go in there with thousands of signatures. We were tallying up some of the stuff right now. We're over 2,000 signatures right now, and it's just climbing. We need more facilities. We need more education. We need places like the Terminal Island Raceway that are going to generate the revenue to put back into the neighborhoods and the communities and the youth programs and the Boys and Girls Clubs. We always see these politicians looking and saying there's no money. And Big Swag made a good point about the high school drag program and how, they're trying to help the kids out and how John Force is trying to do something different for them also. I mean, here in San Pedro, no automotive program. The high school has no automotive program. And that's one of our long-term goals. To open up the raceway is a great deal, but a long-term goal would be to reactivate the local automotive high school program and vocational program. A lot of these kids, hey, man, they're into cars. Face it. Everybody loves cars, whether it be a lowrider, an import, or a gasser, or whatever it may be, a tuner. And we got the same thing in common, and that's one of the things that we got to keep pushing forward. I mean, when we talk to the politicians in Los Angeles, the only thing that they hear is money. They want to know about the money. Who is going to be paying for the track? Who is going to be bringing in the emergency medical services? Right now, I was just going through a couple of threads on the Project Street Legal Terminal Island Facebook page, and there's a gentleman there that is volunteering his tow services when we are successful, when we open the track up. And that's community right there. That's people coming together to solve a problem that's been ongoing and ongoing. Terminal Island has been closed for approximately about, 22 years maybe? And it's time that we reopen this place back up again. I've had local politicians tell me, don't worry about Terminal Island, stay away from it, it's off limits. That's not true. I've talked to other people that work within the Harbor Department, have told me different things. And one of the things that, we're going to continue to keep doing is we're going to keep continuing the battle. I mean, it's going to take a while. It's not going to be easy. Nobody said it was going to be, but you know what? Big Willie Robinson said that it's going to be worth it when we are successful in the long run, and it proved the fact that when he was open that he helped everybody out. It did not matter where you came from or what you did. If you didn't have enough money to get in that gate, they would help you out. He would not turn anybody away and let them go out on the streets to where they hurt themselves, getting hurt, the bystanders, the innocent public. And it's just a bad, bad situation. These TV shows are glamorizing something when they're on closed sets. Out here, as other places in America, they're running the real deal. They're running in the back roads. They're running in industrial areas, and they're trying to be as safe as they can. But you know what? There's not enough education out there for these younger crowds to, put them up on game and say, hey, you know what? Don't stand here on the big end. A car might spin out. It might hit something, and you guys are standing there, it's just an ongoing battle. It's going to continue to happen. I mean, we're doing a lot of footwork, a lot of legwork. We got a lot of people involved today. Marketing director from Edelbrock today approached me. There's another guy by the name of Lucky. He works with Curry Rear Ends, and people have just expressed so much interest in this entire project. It's not amazing to me. It's just going to be amazing to the fact that when I step into City Hall and I go into the council chambers and say, hey, look, this is how many people want this to happen. What are you guys going to do now? What's up? You know, we just want our fair shake. We want to be facilitated. We don't want to race on the streets. A lot of us don't want to race on the streets anymore, you know. Don't want to race on the streets, but, man, we had some major big races on the streets this past week here in L.A., big money, high-dollar races. And you know what? These guys work hard in their cars, and they're racing for a purse, just like the big corporate racers, just like the big NHRA racers. They're racing for money at the end of the day, and there's nothing wrong with that. I believe that it's okay, you know, but politicians look at it as bets and doing all that stuff. But, you know, I mean, hey, you know.
You said it. Big hot dogs, right?
Oh, yeah. A lot of hot dogs. There's a lot of hot dogs.
That's
a lot
of it.
Put it this way. The street racers in Los Angeles had full stomachs by the time Friday night rolled around, you know. And we had guys, you know, the big heavy hitters out here, you know. And guys come down from the valley and stuff like that. And I mean, these guys are big guys out here, you know. And then we got a lot of up and coming young contenders. They're running really fast cars out there, you know.
Let me jump in for a second, Don. Hey, Brett, let me ask you this question.
So,
how can we, as a group or a town or whatever, how can we get more sponsorship to maybe go to the mayor's office or show interest in this track at Terminal Island?
Well, you know, you got to do what he's doing right now, this grassroots effort. You know, Lucky, who we spoke to at Speed Scene Live, is a big guy in our drag racing world. He does the, you know, for 10 years, been doing his show. You got to go get the Edelbrocks. You got to go, like, you know, with Fontana reopening with Mad TV and Lucas, getting them going. You need stuff like that, and you need people that have a name in the drag racing world to come forward. You know, the guy that was putting this thing on today, the high school drags, Charlie Harmon, you know, getting good friends with John Force and getting him down there and getting watching John talk to the kids today. Like I said, he doesn't tell you that he didn't street race. He said, I did street race. It's just, it's not safe. It's not 40 years ago when the streets, or they may race on a back road somewhere where there wasn't a lot of people on the streets. Now it's not like that. Now, you know, we got millions of people that are in this city, millions upon millions, and it's just not safe to do it anymore. So you got to get the corporations involved. And there's enough people out there, the Edelbrocks, you know, the Lucas Oil. There's people like that that want to get these people to the track because, you know, it's a business
for them.
It's a business. It's a business for them. It's like, look, to get these kids to the track, it's a business for the tire companies. It's a business for that. And it keeps the kids safe, and that's the whole thing. And to get Terminal Island reopened would be huge. And like you said, it would take these guys that are racing on the street. You know they're going to come to the track. You know that Friday and Saturday night is going to be huge down at Terminal Island with everybody there. It's going to be good.
You know, the thing that kills me is they have the land there. No one's asking for a permanent track. We're just saying, hey, do you guys decide what you're going to do with the land or build on it. Well, there's enough room there for a solid 8-mile-hour track, an 8-mile track, and that could have plenty of shutdown. Why can't we have it? Now, we had this guy, his name was Brandomir. Donald had this meet and greet, and we went cruising. And we, you know, I talked to him. He said that that's not in the 10-year plan. I said, well, what's in the 10-year plan? How long ago was this, Donald?
A couple of months ago, maybe.
He said, I'll get back to you.
We're still waiting for a reply.
And I haven't heard nothing from this guy. He won't come on the show. He was just wanted to tell us that Terminal Island was off the table. And I said, well, if it's off the table, go over to that news camera. and tell them it's off the table. Because our mayor promised us if he got elected, we'd be racing at Terminal Island.
On Terminal Island. You have me.
Why aren't we there?
Yeah, but you know what the thing about his statements is? He's not used to dealing with community activists. He's used to dealing with people that he can tell no and they'll just go away. Well, we know what the law says. We know what how the Harbor Commission is set up, how Los Angeles City Charter is set up. We know how to extract community influence in out of from the Harbor Commission or how to make our influences known or our wishes known. The Harbor Commission right now, they're in talks with a company that wants to store carriages over there. They have no major plans. I'm thinking if they're going to store carriages over there, there's going to be lots of asphalt. But there is no signed lease. The thing is wide open. We just have to go to the Harbor Commission and make sure that they know that this is what we want and get more commissioners on our side, one way or the other. You know, there's a couple ways to do it. And as community activists, that's for us to get numbers in there so that they can see, hey, these people are serious and they're not going away and they understand the law and we can't pull anything over on them. Because they're going to see through it and they're going to call us on it. That's how we're going to get this done. We're going to do the same thing when we go to city council. Okay, you know, well, Seattle did a good thing for us by putting the motion forth that he did, but he also tried to snooker us by not putting a date on the motion. He didn't say report back by when, 30, 60, 90 days. Okay, that gives him 2 years to let the fire department, the city attorney's office, and the police department to get a report back to him. We're not going to wait for that. Okay, we see what they're doing, and all we have to do is counteract their moves. Total goal, strategy, and tactics. That's how we're going to get it accomplished, and that's what we've got to stick with, regardless of what anybody says about it.
Now listen to this, Brent. The councilman for the 15th district here is my cousin.
Wow.
Now, I talked to him. See, when I talk to him, I do it off the record.
Yeah,
this talk I wanted on the record, and he says, no, we can't do that. But I just let him know how I felt. A track is needed. If you're going to stand here and tell me that there isn't a street racing problem here in your 15th district, I'll have 600 cars on the street tonight.
What time?
I said, don't tell me that there's no problem here, because I will be the biggest cancer in this city.
Well, what about the young man that just killed the girl in Wilmington over there a couple of days before Christmas? When are they going to listen? Exactly. This young lady, we spoke with some of the friends of the family today at the Edelbrock show, and these people are distraught, man. I mean, could it have been prevented? Maybe. Could we have educated them if we had a track? Of course we would. We'd pull the resources that we have. People like you, Tail, people like John Force could come and speak to these youngsters, and we can educate them on the proper ways and procedures and the safety precautions that we would have to take to do all this stuff. You know, it's a lot more than opening that raceway. It's education that's going to be involved with this particular program. You know, Officer Scott Graham from Team Sheriff Racing, they're totally involved with us. We've established a good relationship with them, and things are going great with the sheriff's racing team right now. So we're just, I mean, just like Phil's saying, we got strategy and tactics. They think we're in hiatus right now, or we're just sitting on the back burner, but what we're doing is we're just simmering right now. And the lid on the kettle is about to pop, and we're just letting it simmer right now. They think we're probably sitting at home and just kicking up our feet and eating peanut butter ice cream from 31 Flavors, but we're not. We're out there. We're banging this. We're doing footwork. You know what I mean? I got my boots tied up tight. I got my colors on with my brotherhood representing in the back. And I'm putting my gasser all over the place, and we're getting everywhere, and we're doing what we can. We got a lot of people that are pulling for us. It's one of those David and Goliath fights, and we're going to get ready to sling that rock right now pretty soon. And they better get ready to either duck or get with us, or something else is going to go down. There's going to be a big race in front of City Hall, and it's going to end with my car getting pulled away on a trailer and me probably getting handcuffed, you know? But, hey, Willie had to do it in the 70s, and we might have to do it again. You know,
I got to say, Big Swag.
Well, I tell you what, you guys, you definitely sound it's, you know, one of the big things, and one of the things that's going to help is to be educated on the subject. And I can tell you by listening to you, all three of you, that you're educated on the subject and what needs to be done. So, you know, I really think you got to go, and when you get a Vic Yellowbrock and you get some of these people to champion with you, that's the right move, and getting the signature and just taking it to the streets and doing, you know, and I will help what I can, what I can do, and to make a few calls and see what we can do. But you guys seem to be on the right track, and I think sooner or later they're going to have to do something because, as you said, all it takes, you know, they don't. I don't know why they can't see that people are dying, you know, because people are dying in the streets, whether it's the driver or innocent civilians. People are dying, and it's just how much is enough is enough until it happens to someone close to them, then maybe they wake up. I don't know.
That's a good point right there. Swag, 19. He had 19 people killed last year. And, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. It's going to take for something to happen to one of these politicians, which I don't wish that on anybody's family. I mean, it's not good. We don't want to see any more deaths happening. 19 is too many. One is too many. That's not enough. You know, it's just not right, you know, and we're just going to battle our asses off. I mean, like I said, my boots are tied up, and we're going to go to battle, you know. We could turn the streets upside down if we wanted to, but that's not what we're trying to, you know, accomplish. We're not trying to come at them from those angles. Right now we're trying to take the proper channels and play their game by their rules. So we'll see what happens.
Exactly.
We continue to play their games by their rules. Are they going to listen to us? Are they going to side with us? What are they going to do? They're employed by us, for us to work with us. And here we are with the solution to an ongoing problem that's been happening for over years. And, you know, hey, we're just going to keep chopping away. We're going to be cutting them down from the inside out. I'm also on our neighborhood council here in San Pedro, and we're really pushing the issue for the Harbor Commission to bring back evening meetings again. Some of the commissioners have been spoken to by the public relations officer, and they are considering having evening meetings. So this is where we chop them down from the inside out, because as I'm sitting in these president's meetings with the neighborhood councils and the Harbor Commission liaisons, we're cutting them from the inside out, and I'm in their face. They know what I'm about. They know who I am, and they know what I want. And here I am sitting across the table from the public relations liaison in the port building, you know. So I'm going to eat them up from the inside out, too. We're going to get them from all angles. And need be, we're going to throw another protest or something, you know, if that's what we got to do. But we got a lot of people on our page right now. Lucky from Speed Scene was, like, really, really good to see us today. And he's like, you know what, I've been looking for you guys. I've been hearing things. Why aren't you guys on my show? We also had a guy by the name of Dave Davis from the Primer Podcast, and he wants to do a podcast with us. You know, he's extended his hand to us also. We had a number of people today at Edelbrock speak about, you know, how concerned that they want to help, and they want to help push this issue with us. So we're going to keep moving forward, you know, and you know, we're just, like Phil said, strategies, goals, and tactics. You know, you got a high school educated street racer. You got a crazy ass fireman that's ready to put his ass on the line out there. You got another sheriff racing cop out there that's got one of the baddest barracudas over here on the West Coast. You got all Scott Graham. I mean, you got all these different walks of life coming together on the same common interest to keep these kids safe, get their asses off the streets, and educate them on how they can continue to race safely so they can end up going to school, getting jobs, and being contributing members to society and not ending up in the morgue or the hospital. There's car washes every weekend here in the Harbor area. There's kids getting shot out here. There's no programs for them. They cannot relate to any of the other programs that the city has to offer. So the underprivileged that live here in the housing tracts and projects here in Los Angeles, we can relate to them. A lot of us are from the street. We came from the street, and we're out here trying to fight for them. The little piece of opening up the drag strip is just a little piece about it. It's just a little speck of what we want to do. The long-term project is to help our communities, actually be here for our communities, not sit downtown in a big, tall building saying that they're going to help us and then put bike lanes all over the place throughout the city of Los Angeles and congest the traffic all over the place. You know, it's real solution. We have real solution for this particular project here. You know, I'm ready. I'm going
to
give them
I think you need to you need to throw your hat in for mayor.
You know what? Yeah.
I'm serious.
You know what? Mike, you're not the first one that has told me that. And you know what? And all I am is I'm a regular dude with the jailhouse GED from Wayside, and I'm no better than the next man, but I come from the era from my grandfather that went to World War II and fought in the Korean conflict where a handshake and your word actually meant something. That's the era that I was raised in. That's the type of people that I hang with. I hang with people that when they shake your hand and they tell you they're going to do something, they're going to be at your garage at 5 o'clock. They're there at 4:59 because they're a man of their words. Now, when people make promises that they can't keep, that's when we have a problem. And especially in the small town that we're from, Nateo's from too also, it's a really small town, and we could reach out and touch somebody anytime we want. And we know a lot of people all over the place, and we got different demographics of backgrounds of nationalities that were tight down here. The blacks, the Mexicans, the Italians, we're all tight down here. We're all hardworking, blue-collar, people working on the docks, people just doing things to help their families out down here, and we want to protect our families, and we want to protect our American lifestyles out here. You know, it's part of the lifestyle, you know?
Swag, you know what I'm thinking about?
Go ahead.
When we're talking about the street racing and stuff like that and the 19 deaths, do you know that none of them that I know of are actually from street racing?
Nope, they're not.
I mean, they're from kids watching the morons in Oklahoma do their thing. It's and the news spins it as that we're doing street racing. And that's what's been giving the street name a bad name. So it's like, how do you separate? How do you say, hey, you know what? That's not what we're doing when you have a TV show that's promoting all that. As much as they want to make money and have that show, on the other side of the scale, they could be killing kids.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's just... It's, you know, TV is corporate America. It's the same thing. If you have a show that's get ratings, you know, you can have nutcases on your show. If they're making ratings, they'll make excuses for why it's on, and they'll look the other way. It always happens. It's there's plenty of shows that we've watched on TV where we go, what the hell's that doing on TV, you know? And there's tons of them. But if they get ratings, they're going to keep it on, and they'll look the other way. What you have to do is you have to make, and it's the same with politicians. You have to hold them accountable. So when you see people that sometimes they'll boycott a show or they'll boycott the products, the people that advertise on the show, that's sometimes the only thing that gets people to wake up. Or if you come together and you vote someone out of the city council seat or you put pressure on them and then they realize they're going to lose their job unless they do their job, which... it's very tough to get these guys to do sometimes, but you have to hold the folks accountable. And if they don't, the same, you know, then nothing gets done. So, you know, some of the things that Charlie Harmon and John Force were doing today, and some of the things are what you guys are trying to do. And, you know, I try to get TV back on the air. I've been trying and pitching drag racing shows for the last month or two. So some networks and production companies, and we're getting close to getting some real drag racing back on that showcases that blue-collar guy, that Friday night guy that goes and, you know, works 40 hours a week at his job and then puts another 30 in his garage, getting his car ready for that testing tune because, you know, that's 90% of drag racing fans out there, and the guy's a drag racer. That is that very same guy, you know, that races on Friday and Saturday night and works and has his regular job, and that's what he does. And that's the blue-collar guy, and that's what I'm trying to get back on the TV and to show these folks. Because, listen, you know, a show wouldn't be on TV if it wasn't getting ratings. But we have nothing else. There's nothing else on there. There's no other drag racing on TV, which is unfortunate because over the last 10 years with Pinks and Pinks All Out and Pastime and some other shows that showcased drag racing, there was ratings. It was good. It was a big influx and drag racing fans and people, you know, going to the track and watching it and going, man, this is pretty cool, and you know, and not going to the street going, man, I can work on my car, I can go to the track, I can really do this. And it, now with nothing on TV, it just takes away from that. And so we got to get something on TV again, and we got to – education is key as far as it's nowadays. It's total education. It's you know, it's someone standing up and saying, hey, look, you can't be doing this. This is what you got to do. And thank goodness that we have guys like you, and there's other people out there, and thank goodness, you know, you got the Edelbrocks and Lucky and some of these people that believe in what you guys are doing and believe the, you know, that they're drag racers. And, you know, Vic Edelbrock is a very – I've met him before, met Noah's family and his kids, and it's folks like that which will help. And if you get a couple more champions like that, the champion you're, you know, the fight you're getting involved with, that's it's going to be a good thing. And hopefully we'll get this track sooner than later opened up again and educate these kids and get them off the street.
Hey, Teo.
You know what? Hey,
Teo.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shake and Bake.
What's going on, Shake?
Hey, I know I got a lot of background noise, but I want to comment on what my man was just saying. Yeah, you're right. I think we do need to hold these people accountable. Every time somebody gets hurt and get damaged or something on the street, we need to get on the news and the TV and broadcast and say, hey, this wouldn't happen if you let us educate and have a track where we can get these kids off the street, because your lives are still at stake here. And the more we do this, the more it will push them to go ahead and open up these tracks and find a way to get people off the street drag race. Because everybody loves their own family members and wants to keep them safe. And if we keep nudging at them, I think that would happen.
Well, you know what? I just don't understand how a drag strip hurts a city or how a drag strip hurts financial. It pays for itself. You know, you're safer in a drag car than you are your own street car. You got the cage around you, five-point harness on you. You're in a helmet. How is that not safe?
You're right, but what's happening is our drag racing has been branded a bad name, and we got to get them to change that. It is real safe, just like you say, with the cage in the car and all of that. It keeps people safe. It's more safer than the regular cars out here in the street. But we got to get them to understand and see just what we do and how safe it is. Then maybe we can change their mind.
Well, I'm just thinking that with all this going on, and I think Edelbrock, and like you, Swag, I've met Cammy down at my baseball field. She walks her Husky, and we've talked about this. This is money for them, too, to make, because
absolutely,
when you have a track, you got to buy race stuff. Where else better than Edelbrock? And it's in our own backyard.
Listen. It's a business, man. Let me tell you something. When you have a track, why do you, you know, I make a lot of appearances. You know, I go to tracks all over the United States. I go to tracks in Canada. Who do you think set up there on a weekend? Who's set up there when there's 5,000, 10,000 people at a track on a weekend? Guys are buying tires. Guys are fixing their cars. They're not going to, you know, the car breaks down. They're going to the guys that are there, the retailers that are selling their stuff. May 31st, I'm in Palm Beach International Raceway for Final Destination. They got a big show going on down there. You got ATF, the transmission. You got all these people, ART. All these people are going to be down there because it's a business, man. And it's a good business. And it's a safe business, you know. And these people, you know, Lucas, why do you think Lucas, who has dumped so much money in the drag racing the last couple of years, it's a business. It's good. They're good folks. They're great people for doing that. You know, Mav TV, good people for getting this stuff and getting these tracks and helping Fontana get back up and going. You know, we need tracks. California is one of the biggest places where all of a sudden we're losing all these tracks. You know, and I don't care what people say, California is a drag racing state. Always has been. Always will be. We just got to get these politicians open up, you know, listen a little bit. And when you have educated people talking about it, and from what I hear, and everybody that's coming on the show, man, these guys know their stuff. It's a plus, you know. I mean, I try to, you know, when we were doing pastime, I know more about drag racing than I let on. But I had Kent, you know, Ken Herring was my expert. So when something came up and I needed to ask a question, I asked it. Ken's an expert on this stuff. He would answer it. You know, you don't send someone into battle that doesn't know what they're doing. It sounds like you guys got tons of guys that know how to battle and know what they're doing and know what they're talking about and are passionate about it. And that's what's, you know, it gets me fired up. So I'm 300 pounds. Don't get me fired up, man.
You know, Ken's a great guy. And, you know, when I did the pink sell out in Vegas, after the race, I was on the starting line with Ken, the Pritchett brothers, and Charles. And we were just laughing amok, Steve Pullen. That's how I got to know these guys so good. Exchanged phone numbers, kept in contact. And they're really great guys. I love them. And,
Pritchett brothers, man, they're passionate about it. I mean, they're not, it's just not, they weren't on TV. I mean, they run races. That's their business. I mean, guys like that are passionate about racing, and they're passionate about racing on the track. You know, that's what makes guys like that. They're real, you know. Listen, I'm an actor. I'm in Hollywood. This is what I do. So most of the people in my business are not real, you know. But I'm also a biker, and I'm also a drag racing fan, and I'm entrenched in that community. Those are the realest people in the world. Those are people that if you need something, they're going to come help you. If you got a family member that's sick, who are you going to call? I'd rather call my biker buddies and my drag racing friends and family, and they would be there in a second to help out. That's what makes it beautiful, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, I agree. The Pritchett brothers, I went back there to go see them, go visit. They had a big meet and greet when they were meeting people when he was doing the 1320X. It was right after they left Pink's All Out. And they really are. They're the same guys that you see on TV. They're exactly like that in person. That these guys are nothing changes about them. They're exactly the same. And that's what I loved about the show. And that's what made that show work. Because you had racers talking about racing. You had Ken, Charles, the Pritchett brothers. All those guys knew about racing. You know, I got chassis questions. I actually called a Ken shop and talked to, I forgot what his name is, one of his guys there, about certain things on my Vega. You know, and I get an answer and that's it. You know, these guys really are experts at what they do. And real quick, I want to give a shout out to Ken and congratulations on his engagement.
Yeah. Ken's doing good. He's out there. Look, there's a lot of guys that I was lucky enough, and we mentioned Scott Graham, you know, from the Sheriff's Department and Beat the Heat program. Scott is one. He wants me to come do a commercial with him about, you know, street racing and get the kids off the street. And I think we're going to do it. I got to give him a holler and do it. But there's a guy right there that, you know, growing up, like I said, I'm a biker. I come from the biker world and this and that. And so you shy away from the police guys. So, Scott came on our show. I met him up in where we live kind of close to each other. And I met him a couple times and I was coming out of the store and all of a sudden guy's like, how you doing, Brett Wagner? And he's in a sheriff's uniform. And I freaked out. I froze. And I'm like, what did I do, man? He's like, no, I just wanted to say, I liked your show. We struck up a friendship. I got him on our 100th episode in Vegas. And what a class act and a guy that cares. I mean, he really cares about drag racing. And more importantly, he cares about getting his kids to stop killing themselves on the street and get it to the track. So there's a great guy to help you out and a great guy that would help, and if he's not already helping, to, you know, get these folks. And you couldn't have a better guy to walk into a city council, you know, than Scott Graham to talk about the how great a track would be and how it would save these kids' lives. But we've had a lot of people, you know. I'm Murillo out of Texas, you know. Tim Lynch, these are guys that people that race will know, but they're big champions of getting the kids off the streets and getting them to the track. So there's a lot of people out there that, you know, had the same cause and want to see the same thing happen. It's just making a phone call and getting some of these people and showing up at the right place and getting the Edelbrocks and getting these people together to say, yes, what can we do to help?
Yeah, I agree. You know, I'll tell you what, Scott was up at Steve Pullen's that night, remember? When he had the
call
out. And Scott doesn't forget a name. He looked at me when I walked in. I was looking at the card, and we started talking. And he says, did you used to drive a Camaro, about 25 years ago? And I first go, nope, wasn't me. And he goes, come on now. I said, yeah, I had an orange one. He goes, wasn't it an SS? I'm like, dude, you got to stop. And but like you said, but what a great guy to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, and he is just, he's one of the guys that are in the game that gets it.
Yeah. Well, he's, you know, he's a stand-up guy. That's, sure. I always come back to stuff like you just said, like your guy was saying that, you know, you got to be honest. He comes from where a guy will shake you in the hand, look in the eye, and he's honest with you. If he says he's going to do something, Scott's one of those guys. If he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. So, you know, we've had a good relationship for years, and, you know, I know that they're trying to, there's talks of, you know, there's Beat the Heat programs all over the country, which is great, and we've had a lot of the guys, you know, Tom Brown is a guy that was on our show. We had a Beat the Heat episode, and we had a bunch of guys from Beat the Heat on past time, which was great, and I've stayed friends with all these guys, and there's talks of that being getting one of the networks picking it up as a TV show, which would be great, because it would, you know, it would drive home the message to get these kids off the street. But let's talk about some of the positive stuff that's going on, like Fontana. Great that the track's back open.
It is.
Great that, you know, it's tremendous. I was down there today. It was hot as hell, and my white legs got sunburned, but I had a great time, you know. It was great I haven't been to that track, and gosh, I can't even tell you how long. But it was cool seeing the track. Like I said, Mav and Lucas have dumped some money in there, and the people running it are great. And they offered to, if we get some filming going or need to shoot a pilot or a teaser, as we call in the business, when you want to bring a show to the network, you can't just talk about it anymore. They want to see a little 5 minutes, what we call a teaser. So they offered the track if I need to shoot some stuff, which is great. And it's just nice to see that we're getting these tracks reopened again. And, you know, Terminal Island would be huge. And we need something over in that area. And it would be great.
Yeah, I agree, Brett. You know, Fontana with that new barrier wall, I mean, it looks nice. And the track is still in great shape. I love it there. I didn't make it out there today. I coach high school baseball. We had a game, so I couldn't make it. But, you know, I'm very supportive of that track, and I think it's a good thing. It's a step in the right direction. And, you know, with Grudge Inc., we're trying to get a grudge race out here in California. And these guys are insane. And Brett, when I tell you these guys have fast cars, they're seriously fast. They run a lot of 8th Mile down south. But there's these guys, the 901 Bad Boys. There's some of the Witt, he just became Grudge Racer of the Year last year. And he's got a few cars. And they don't just travel with one. They got like 3 or 4 cars in their stables. And it's pretty good. And I know we get a race out here. We get some of these guys from back east out here. So, I'm excited about that.
That'd be awesome. You know, people don't realize, like, you know, I'm in Florida a lot, and, you know, I'm in North Carolina. I'm in Iowa a lot. There's folks that race in Iowa. I mean, there's people that race all over the United States, and then go up to Canada. Let me tell you something. They may talk funny, but they're fast. You know, Canada. When in Calgary and Edmonton, you know, I go to the track in Edmonton, Castro Raceway. These people are nuts up there. Toronto, nuts. Love their cars, and they only have, you know, sometimes 5 months out of the year, 4 months out of the year, and sometimes even less that they can race. So they get in when they can, and they, you know, put the pedal to the floor, and they race. A lot of horsepower. Florida, a lot of horsepower. So it's great. So what you guys are doing and all the grudge racing, the grudge ink is awesome. And like I said, I've got to go to a couple races here and there and watch some grudge racing at some tracks and, you know, see the excitement, see the crowds, and it's awesome. I mean, you just let me know when it's going to hit California so I can make sure I got my weekend free.
Oh, dude, I will definitely let you know that. You know, I got to tell you, last year I was at the PSCA race in Vegas, the Super Streetcar Nationals, and they had a couple cars from Canada. This is it goes what you were talking about. They had their Canadian flag in the back of their truck hanging from a hockey stick. It was classic.
Well, I think if they don't beat you in the race, they're going to pull over at the end and pull the hockey stick out and knock you out.
They're going to check you in the wall.
Yeah, you know.
They
listen,
are
that's
crazy
universal about it. That's what makes it all cool. We all love racing, man. I mean, there's nothing more. Look, they say there's nothing more American than apple pie. There's nothing more American than racing, period. You know, and like I said, we just gotta get a few more champions like the Edelbrocks and some other people, the Luckies from Speed Team Live and people like that who have a name, who champion drag racing, who can get the word out and just keep this folks that you guys that you got and that are smart on this subject to keep fighting and keep and know what's going on. And we got to hold the folks that are running the city. We got to hold them accountable. You know, they got to get voted in. Like he says, we pay their salaries. You know, and if enough, you can't just keep waiting and have them keep waiting. All right, another. You know, if 19 people died last year, what's going to happen this year? You know, how many is it going to be this year? And that's just over there. Man, people are dying in every state and every city. You know, Northern California, people are dying racing. Iowa, they're racing, they're dying. So it's happening all over the place. I was looking up some numbers, and I think in 2003, there was something like seven in the United States, just in 2003, as I was just looking up some numbers for another show I was on, I think in 2003 there was like 720 deaths in the United States related to street racing. So, I mean, that's sick.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I saw that you went back east, the Camo show. You did a co with Camo?
Yeah, we did the Virginia Street.
Virginia?
I did the runs of Virginia Street Outlaws thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good friends with those guys. I met all those guys with through Nate. Nate had, you know, we had the 1320X, and that's how I got online with those guys and met them on that meet and greet I went out to. Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, they're good. They're keeping the it was, you know, great. We had a lot of Colonial Beach Dragway down there, and, you know, normally I think they on a slow time they'll get 400 or 500. I think we had 5,000 people show up for that race, so pretty good things. You know, I've been going to Kentucky a lot. I'll be at Clay City Father's Day weekend, June 14th. Kentucky Horsepower for the Butch Reed Memorial first annual race. Butch Reed was a drag racer who passed away. And you know, like I said, there's racing all over the place, man. And this is at tracks. And I keep champion. Every time I go, I tell the kids, you know, I tell the guys. Sometimes it makes us not popular. People, and I don't care. You know, I get people yellow bullet and some other stuff. People don't like you. They think you're a phony. They think you're this and that. And that's fine, man. I could care less. If people calling you out, saying you're an idiot, and you're just jealous, because I'll get that. They say you're jealous because you're not on TV, you don't have a show, you don't have this, and you're jealous. No, I'm not jealous of that stuff. I'm a drag racing fan, you know. I love drag races. I love going to the track. You know, for 5 years I was hosting a drag racing show. I met the nicest people in the world. To see one of those people or one of those kids be taken away because they're out on the street because they were influenced by something stupid, it tears me apart. You know, and when you see these kids like I saw today, and I saw them listening to John Force talk, you know, and see them, they were so thrilled, and it was so cool to see. Because listen, guys are getting older, you know. There'll come a time when John Force and some of these other guys aren't racing anymore, and if we don't bring up these kids properly, then we're not going to have any drag racers, and then the tracks are going to shut down, and then what's going to happen? It's going to be the wild, wild west on the streets.
Oh, yeah. What did you think of John Force?
You know, I think of myself as I'm a mix between, you know, I did a little pro wrestling. So I'm a little I'm a little Ric Flair and a little John Force. So that's why I look at myself. John is he's a true ambassador to the sport. You know, he's still walking without a limp. You know, he's funny. He can talk to anybody, and he's doing what he loves. And, you know, he taught his kids how to be racers and do it the right way. I think some of these guys, you know, listen, in any sport, any kind of job, you get people that he's famous. So, but look, you get people that are famous that are idiots, that don't talk to the public, don't care about the public, they care about their paychecks. He cares about the public. You know, with Dale Earnhardt Jr., I met him a couple of years ago at the L.A. car show, and there was a couple other NASCAR guys there. And when they had a press conference, and then they left, and Dale sat there and took pictures of every single person and shook everybody's hand for an hour. And then the photographers that were there, they wanted pictures with him. And he said, sure. And he stood around and took pictures with them. You know, John Force is that type of guy. He signed pictures for everybody. They took pictures with them. You know, it was on point, smiling the whole time. It's, 100 degrees at the track. But he's a true professional. He loves what he does. He's a great ambassador for the sport. And, you know, and there's a lot of people like that, you know, that aren't as big as John Force. Like I said, the Mike Morellos, the Tim Lynches, you know, guys like that who race, who have speed shops, who race for, you know, they do their thing and they get out and they have 12 or 14 appearances a year racing. Those guys are the same. They're great ambassadors for the sport. And, you know, I got a car being built. We were talking about that. So I went to Pennsylvania. I did a show. And I spoke to some kids at a tech school because the promoter, Brian Lutz, asked me to go talk to him. He said, hey, they built all the trophies for the show. So I went and talked to him. And listen, I'm a BSer. You know, I'm an actor. I used to do bodyguard work. I don't really have a skill. So I said, you guys are lucky that you're at a school that's called North Monco Tech in Pennsylvania. You're lucky that you're learning something, whether it's motors, whether it's body work, whether it's wiring. Whatever you're learning, make sure you learn it. Enjoy it. You have something for the rest of your life you can do. I said, I wish when I was a kid, and I loved the cars, and I wanted to get involved in that. But the high school I went to didn't have a machine shop, didn't have an auto class, didn't have it. So I didn't push. I had many opportunities to, and I told these kids that, you know, be thankful that you're here, learn what you can. And the teacher was like, man, if we can ever do anything for you. I said, well, I don't have a car. I would say let's do a build so we can get these, you know, do something, get some exposure for the kids. And Mark Rubright, who does a racing, Mark Rubright Racing in Pennsylvania, said, I got a 90 GT, you know, Fox body. You can have it. And and he graduated from the school 20 years earlier. So now we got this build with the kids, and we got to have it done by March next year. I've had some great people come on board, Curry, Whole Shot Wheels, you know, KTF Transmission, UPR, all these people have jumped on board to help, and we're going to get these kids some good exposure at the school, and they're excited about doing a car for a semi-slow mini celebrity like myself, so...
Get out of here, man.
I'm just excited that all these people that talk trash all the time, we're helping these kids out, and then, you know, next year I'll have a car and I can say, talk trash now, and we'll take it to the track, you know.
Good deal. You know, the reason why I asked about Force, I met him at Puddingstone at one of the drag boat races. This might have been 20 years ago. And we were watching, and he says, what boats are out right now? And I turned and looked. I'm like, oh, shit, John Force. And he goes, yeah, what's going on? Shook my hand. I go, John Brute Force. He goes, man, how old are you? Old enough to know you were John Brute Force because you used to drive the Brute by Fabergé car in the early 80s.
He had it there today.
Yeah, so I had to remind him that. That's how long I've been watching him. And what a, I mean, he's just a man of the people.
Yeah.
He's not the champion. He's not this. He's just a racer. A guy fortunate enough to do what he does. but he's still a down-to-earth guy. Approachable.
Yeah, he gives back.
Talkable. Oh, great guy.
Yeah, he gives back, and a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people get in that position, and they don't give back. I go do a lot of shows, so I see all the celebrities on their way up and on their way down. Listen, if you're an automotive, if you're a bike builder, or you're in a car show, chances are I've been at a show with you. You know, some of these guys are awesome. Some of them come in for 2 hours, sign, make their money, and they're out the door. You know, I'm there for the whole weekend. You know why? Because I want to make sure every single person there, I either shake their hand, I sign a picture for them, I say, hey, thank you for supporting me. Because basically, look, if they don't watch my TV show, I'm not on TV. I don't make a buck.
Right.
I want them to have a good time. And some of these people don't do that. You know, they'll come in, they make big bucks, they sign for 2 hours, they're out the door, which is a mistake, you know. And a John Force, a Ron Capps, and some of these other guys, they don't do that. They'll sit there all day. I go up to Santa Maria Speedway in Santa Maria, and Ron Capps is up there. Sometimes he'll take a dirt, a car around the track, and he sits out there, shakes hands with everybody, signs, hey, how you doing? Talks about drag racing. Great guy, you know. That's the type of people, and that's what John Force is. And you have to be that way, you know. If you're not that way, then people remember that, and then they go, well, he's just an idiot. Who cares about this? If that's the way the business is, you know, a lot of bike builders are like that, which is unfortunate. But then you get the good guys, so. But, hey, bro, listen, the little woman's home. I got some honeydews I got to do. But as I said, anything I can do to help you, you let me know, and I will do what I can do.
Brett Wagner, thank you so much, sir, for calling in. And, you know, if you got that little thing you're going to do at the track, that little teaser, if you need me for anything to show up, bring my car out, whatever, you got my number, give me a holler, brother. I will be there for you 1,000 times over, man.
Thanks, man. Hey, I think we need to get all of San Pedro down there.
Oh, we can do it, baby. We can bring the car.
If we get 600 down to 10, we need to bring them. I like San Pedro.
Hey, listen, we got Donald had sent out a text to everybody meet for this meeting he wanted to have. The news was there. He did it 2 hours before the event. He had almost 300 cars there. So
wow.
Donald can rally the troops.
We'll bring Donald.
Hey, listen, Donald, anything I can do to help you, man, I appreciate you, and I like listening to you. And like I said, you come across as a guy that knows what he's talking about, and that's what and you need somebody like that that's going to be able to get something going like this and stick to the course, you know.
You know, working with Scott.
We lost Donald. He was there. He'll jump back in.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so I go ahead and go, man. Thank you so much for calling in. And keep me posted if you need us. And something goes on down here, I'll give you a holler. And if you can make it, we'd love to have you. You know the drill.
Thanks, Dale. I appreciate it, bro.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man.
All right. Bye. That was Big Swag, everybody. Brett Wagner. Donald, you're back, babe?
Yeah, man, my calls kept getting dropped. I'm over here at the beach. I shot by the beach over here, and it's kind of a little bit windy, but my...
Uh-oh. You're going into echo.
Are we all right?
We had a technical difficulty.
Man, I'm down here at my garage right now. I'm putting my hood on my car right now and getting ready to lock up the place before I leave. And, man, Big Swag, you talk about a class act tail. He's right up there with the rest of them guys. See, those are the types of people right there, the grassroots people that we're talking about. He's the man right there. I mean, if he's willing to help us do something, then I'll be willing to do anything for this guy right there. I mean, like he was saying about Scott Graham, Team Sheriff Racing, I mean, we're going to, we're going to change the stigmatism of, you know, the cops and the cons thing. You know what I mean? We're working with the police. We want to work with the police. We want to work with Team Sheriff. We've established that relationship already with Scott, and we're just going to keep continuing to build on it, you know? So we're not gonna change anything else, and we're going to move forward. We're going to get them, Tail. Watch. We're going to be successful at this, and then we're going to get the politicians saying, I told you we can do this, you know?
Right.
It's just crazy.
It was good about Swag. Swag has a lot, knows a lot of people, and he's like you said, you dropped off. I don't know if you heard him or not, but he just said, you know, if you need anything, you know, give him a shout. And I went to the show tonight and get familiar with us.
Yeah.
And Grudging. Another first for Grudge Inc. Yeah, Big Swag, Rhett Wagner, halftime host, calling into the show. Man.
Yeah, we got offered by Lucky from Speed Scene to come on to his show. He offered it up today, and the contact that we made with him today, and like I told you, Taylor, he says, we've been hearing things about this going down, he tells me, and finally I get to meet one of you guys. So I met Lucky today. He says, here's my card, gave me his number, and told me, let's get together. We got to get this out there. You know, he was in his Nova. He was in his Nova and he was parking it. And then I went over and I, you know, like I said, I had my street racer jacket on and he, come here, let me talk to you, he tells me. He goes, you know what, we got to get this on the road. We got to get you on the show. And basically, you know, he told me in other terms, let's stop fucking around and let's go. You know what I mean? So he's willing to help, man.
Dude, man. I met him. I was on his show when I did the Pinks All Out, and then I saw him at another show, and I went over to introduce myself to him and was talking to him and Dynamite. Man, is she something. Is she out there?
No, just he was there. He had the whole Curry set up. He had the Nova out there off the trailer, and he was moving it in this morning at 7 a.m. He was moving the Nova in. I mean, that fucking car, you talk about a badass car, that's another one right there, you know?
Yeah.
That Nova's pretty wicked, man. I mean, you know, Swag's right. You make the right connections with the right people, and you'll get the right results, you know? So we got to, you know, we just got to keep plugging. I'm going to keep plugging, bro. It ain't, they're not going to just dust us off like that and be like, you know, hopefully we'll just leave these people in limbo and they're just going to go away, because that's not how this story is going to end. This story is going to end.
I got to tell you, this is why I'm glad that you're doing this, because if it was me, I'd bring the 600 cars down to Harp Boulevard and let them know what problem we have.
You know, we could resort to doing something like that, but, shit, we're going to snarl up the traffic, and we might not get people into Portugal Village and get them down to our other friends, the Angaros. That way they can continue to, you know, support the community like they do. We wouldn't want to interfere with anything that they do great for the community themselves. I saw Henry today at the show. You know, he was out there today, but we're not giving up. I'm not giving up. Like I said, this story, the way this story is going to end is with you in the tower announcing what the next race is going to be. Phil there with the rest of the L.A. City Fire Department helping out. And us lined up down there getting ready to do some legal racing on a legal track. That's how the story is going to end up. We're going to rewrite some new history for us here in the Harbor area. It's going to be a victory for our whole Southern California, and we're going to continue just to show everybody, not only in California, but throughout the world, including, you know, every other place around here, hey, these people had a problem, they came to a solution, and this is what the success was, and here's what the solution is. I mean, shit. It's going to be a long road, but like I said, I'm ready. I just worked the other day on the dock, so that means I got another pair of boots coming from my voucher. So I'm prepared to just keep lacing them up, baby. Just lace them up and get out there, right?
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
Well,
we're glad Swag came off tonight.
And I know now we got Swag in our back pocket. And like he said, man, he's going to do whatever he can to help us out, too. He wants Terminal Island. He said that, you know, that's exactly what he said. We need Terminal Island.
Yeah, we need them all. We need them all back.
Brent Wagner, you the man, brother. I'm glad he called in.
Hey, today when we met Vic over at the other block show, he didn't even flinch, Jail. You know, what is this that I'm signing? What is this? For Terminal Island Raceway. The next word out of his mouth was, Big Willie? I love Big Willie. Give me that. And he just grabs it, you know, and he starts to do his deal, you know. And the Edelbrock family, I mean, they put on a great show for the kids today. And I mean, for us to start establishing a relationship with the Edelbrock's tail, this could be the big one. This could be the chip in the hat that we've, you know, that I've been looking for. You know, we often talk about a lot of people standing around the ring and not wanting to toss the chip in the hat. Big Vic has tossed his chip into the hat today, along with his daughter, Christy, along with Gene Winfield from Winfield Rod and Custom. Now, if those are not some of the biggest names in the business, you know, who is them? You know, we know that. I've got Edelbrock parts. I've got Edelbrock parts on my cars. My brothers do. You know, everybody else out there supports Edelbrock. They've always been nothing but good to the community and good done good for the community. So, hey. Might as well just, you know, we're going to keep it local. They're right out of Torrance, California over here, and they're worldwide, and they ship anywhere, and they do everything, you know. We're in Vic's museum in his garage. Man, he's got some badass cars. He's got a wicked-ass Camaro sitting in there, too. I think about a 67 Camaro, and that thing is badass, man. It has Terminal Island written all over it. It looks like an old Terminal Island car with the wheels kind of sticking out of the back half of it. It's got that rear end, you know. It's got that tubbed, non-tubbed rear end in the back, and the car is just badass, dude.
That's called a Compton tub.
Oh, the Compton tub. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, that's the word. Yeah, it had the Compton tub. It's got one of those square snorkel hood scoops on it, and yeah, the Compton tub, baby. That's it. I couldn't find the exact word, but you gotta watch out for those Compton tubs, man. Those Compton tubs, they'll carry you. Yeah, hey, Bronco had that Compton tub on that Mustang, and he was breaking off some people pretty good with that thing. So
he sure was.
Yeah. But, hey, you know, we're just going to keep putting, like they say, one foot in front of the other, man, and we're going to keep moving. Keep them moving.
You know, Big,
I'm glad that. I'm
Big
also glad
got
that,
a lot of good things to say, and, you know, he was really impressed on what you and Phil were talking about.
Well, he made a lot of valid points. Everything he said was all valid that he was talking about. You know what I mean? He made a lot of valid points. And the only reason why we've educated ourselves is because we can't continue to go into a boxing match wearing plastic gloves. You know what I mean? We got to be suited and booted and ready to go. We got to do our homework, and we got to continue to do our research on all the stuff that we've done. I'm very grateful to have Phil Bowden from the SoCal Challengers on the team with us as a board member, Full Throttle Street Racers, you know, the Street Machine Division. We've got a lot of people that are out and about right now doing work as we speak. And, I mean, if we don't have any of these people helping us do the footwork, we'd be dead in the water. We're probably over 2 years into this whole battle right now, and it's going to take some time. It's going to take time, and we know that. But guys like Phil, Scott Graham, Team Sheriff Racing, you know, Lucky from the Speed Team that wants to help out, the Edelbrock family. I mean, even Big Swag, like, this is the type of things that we want. We are the grassroots. You hear all these politicians talking about grassroots. We're grassroots. We're the Americans. We're the ones that are out here doing the things that we want to do. We want to keep the public safe and do the things that are right for us as a community, man. You know, so we're going to keep plugging. We're going to keep hacking and chopping and biting and spitting and everything we got to do to get out there, you know, so.
Well, earlier when I talked to Swag, I was telling about the situation out here. He was very, very well notified of what we got going on. And, you know, he's a guy who, like he said, he loves racing.
Yeah,
you know,
I love
it. He wants to do it the right way.
No, exactly.
I think with him being on board now, connections that he may have. You know, he may throw those at you, Donald.
That's
and
great.
This is just getting bigger and bigger.
Well,
but the other thing, too, is because, you know, I wanted to do a Grudge Inc. race in Las Vegas. But now with Swag, we might just have our first race out here in Cali.
That's good. That's going to be great. That's going to be good to see Grudge Inc. and the guys from back east come out here. And we got some heavy hitters out there. I mean, those guys are fast out there, man. I watch a lot of the YouTube videos on them cats, and they don't mess around. They don't mess around. And, I mean, it would be great for them to come out and, you know, mingle with these men and women and their families and break bread and have a little barbecue, carne asada out here, you know, California style, and just sit down and have fun. I mean, we hope that that does go through. And I would, you know, I would take a trip to Fontana to go check it out. And, man, it'll be a good thing for everybody. You know, we got family on the East Coast, and they're drag racing family. And, you know, like Bronco's sticker that says on the back of his truck is, you know, a bad day at the track is better than a good day at work. So you ever see that sticker on this truck?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we bring everybody together. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. You're a racer. I'm a racer.
The only problem is I know these guys from the north. When they come out here, man, especially in the summertime, with our warm weather,
they're not going back. Yeah, but you're going to have to get them. You're going to have to be buying a bunch of flip flops and shorts for these cats. They're probably used to wearing boots all the time. You know what I mean? Hey, man. Hey, man, to that.
I ain't gonna be used to no flip flops. Y'all gonna have to. I'm gonna have to stay there about 6 months so I get used to it.
What are those things down there? What are those things I'm looking at there? Oh, those are your feet. Oh, is that what those are? my feet. You got people like Tail in the burnout box and flip flops, and people like shirtless Chad out there without a shirt on, and that's just the way we are in California. That's California living right there. You know what I mean?
Real quick, since you brought up Chad, and I have it on my list, but we had Swag on, I forgot. Now shame on me. I gotta tell you, my boy Chad went to the PSCA race in Vegas last weekend and took home the bacon, won the whole thing.
Get the heck out of here.
Yeah, we heard about that.
Congratulations to you. Get your ass in here. Call in.
He got a wallet out of it. Man,
hey, Shaker, are you still on the track?
Yeah, man, everybody's putting up, going on. The rain done kicked in and caught us. It wasn't a big disaster, but the weather and the water on the track kind of like deterred us away. So everybody's locking up, going back home.
Oh. Well, at least you guys got some racing in. I was looking at the weather reports, and I didn't think you guys were going to get it off.
Man, it was looking slim. Whit didn't show up. Some of the D&D boys didn't show up. But it didn't clear up until this afternoon, and a couple of spots where it rained, but it stopped and we got it took a little action off.
So what do you think about Big Swag calling to the show? We got another fan.
Man, I love it, dude. I love it. That's what you know. I'm his fan.
Yeah, I know. Me too. I can say the same thing. I tune into the shows just to hear what he's going to say next, man. He's a hell of a cast, audience captivator right there. And he's what you want to see. You want to see somebody out there that's going to draw you in. You know what I mean? And he's a good dude all the way around, you know? So.
Right.
So were there a lot of people at the track?
It wasn't a whole lot because of the rain. But it was still a good, decent crowd. The track just wasn't hooking tonight, man. I don't think they prepped it worth anything, especially that left lane. I didn't see the track to go down but one time tonight to prep the track. So that you can tell they was holding back on us.
They probably didn't want to waste any of that VHT.
Yeah, a lot of them Chicago boys was crying. Oh, it ain't hooking. It ain't hooking. They break the tires. This one Monte Carlo, Donnier's car took off so hard it knocked the switch. The switch went off. It vibrated so hard that the switch went off, the on and off switch, and cut the car off.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Was so we
Tyson
still
out
didn't
there?
Get a chance to see. Huh?
Was Tyson out there?
Yeah. I told him to call in, but he was holding something in his hand, looked like a cup.
Oh, thank God he didn't call him then. He would have been pulling me apart left and right.
Hey, Sleepy showed up.
Oh, he was there?
Yeah, Sleepy came down. He was here.
Oh, man. I haven't heard from Sleepy in a while.
Well, I'm going to try to call him and see if I can get him to call in. But
wait, hold on. Does he have a cup in his hand?
No, he didn't.
All right, okay. I'm just checking because I know how a boy Tyson gets when he get a cup in his hand. Yeah, Donald,
I think, man.
Right direction, brother.
Yeah, we're moving. We'll keep moving. We're going to keep
but
moving.
You know what I think? Have you talked to the guys from Channel 11 News?
Yeah, they were at the show today, and they're wondering what's the next move.
You know what?
They want to know what's up. They're ready. They're like, hey, let us know. We had Dan Leitner there, which is the main producer that's always picked up all the stories on the illegal street racing, the underground scene. He was there, and one of their main camera guys, Olin, he was there. You know, they were happy to see us.
I like that guy. Olin?
Olin, he's one of the top camera guys that they got there. And you talk about a hustler, man. That's one of them right there. Him and Dan have been nothing but good to us throughout this whole, you know, two underground illegal street racing scenes, you know, segments that we were able to obtain with them. And they're still extending their hand, and they're wondering, you know, hey, what's up? What are we doing next? What's next? So we were talking about some stuff today with them, and we're just going to keep continuing to, you know, garner support on the streets with everybody and let them know, hey, you know, we haven't gone away. We've been kind of a little, you know, stagnant for a little bit, but all we're doing is regrouping. We're just regrouping right now, you know.
Hey, this is Shake and Bake from Detroit, man. I wish y'all the best of luck. I hope everything you're striving for to trying to get, I wish to God, y'all get it, man, because you deserve it.
Very much. And,
Don't worry about it. Hey, when we get it, Shake, there'll be an airline ticket waiting for you in Detroit to get your ass out here.
Hey, make sure I got some flip-flops and a place to stay because I'm going to be there for a while.
Hey, can you get off the plane? I'm going to have a nice Chinese woman put them on you. How do you like that?
me love you long time.
You're going to give me a pedicure in the car on the way over here.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to
that.
Y'all heard him.
Yep.
Donald.
What's up?
Hey.
Tell him I can make that happen.
Oh, man. If anybody can make any of those things happen, it's Tail. He can make a lot of things happen over here. You know?
All right.
Listen, Shake. I'll have you speak in Chinese before you get to my house from the airport. How you like that one?
I heard that.
You will be speaking in tongues, my brother. Hold on, man. We're going to grab a phone line real quick. Was this Miss Sleepy calling in?
Hello, boss. What are you saying?
661-0240.
Hello?
Your mic's open.
Can you hear me?
Who's this?
Hey, it's Tom.
Hello?
Don't be a prick. Hello?
Go ahead, speak.
It's Tom. What are you saying?
I'm getting an echo. I'm not hearing anything.
You're not hearing anything.
Oh, who is this? I guess we lost him. So listen, I want to let you guys know real quick. I just got a text from Brett Wagner, Big Swag. It says, I'll see if I can get you some other guests on as well. This is blowing up for you, Donald.
Well, it's not just for me. It's for the entire city of Los Angeles, the county of Los Angeles, the drag racing sport throughout Southern California. It's going to be a victory.
Don't you forget the Chinese woman that's going to take care of Shake when we get him out here.
Shake's going to be draped down in some hardcore rainbow flip-flops with a nice San Pedro tank top off before he even gets off that walkway in the LAX. We'll scoop him up with one of these Italian lowriders that we got over here, too, one of the baddest lowriders here in Los Angeles, your other cousins. Does everybody out there in Grudge Inc. know that you have Italian cousins that have the baddest lowriders here on the West Coast? Do they know that?
Do they know that?
No. Tao has some family here in San Pedro. They're good friends of ours also. They got the baddest lowriders. I'm talking about show-stopping quality, Las Vegas show stuff, and they're one of the biggest influential families here in San Pedro, and they're Italians. And they're lowriding Apollo 59s, 60s, hydraulic, flaked out, badass, none of this street level stuff. I'm talking high end cars, man. And these guys have been in the game for a long time. Rosario and Frankie and all those guys, man. It's just a big family here in San Pedro. And, man, you talk about some badass cars. And they got high horsepower underneath these hoods, too. You know?
Tao, you've been holding out on me, man.
No, I can't give you everything at once, brother. When you come out, then it's going to be the wow factor.
Italian lowriders.
Awesome.
They got a couple cars. They got the blue rolls. They got 59 times. You can Google those cars, and you'll see them doing dyno pulls. They put the Impala, the blue rolls, on the dyno, and they pulled dyno pulls on that thing. This car is fast, and it's riding on 13.7 reverse 100 spokes, and it'll break some cars off really bad if they got a chance to, but they don't run it that hard. You know what I mean? But, yeah, these guys, they've been a big staple in the lowrider community here in San Pedro in the harbor area. And they're known around by everybody. They're really good dudes, down-to-earth dudes. Shake your hand, you know, talk to you about stuff. I mean, we have a little local cruise night that we put together in August over here, and we bring out, you know, cars from all over the harbor area, Carson, Wilmington, Torrance. We got the Road Sinners. We got the Road Kings. We got all these different car clubs that come out here. The car culture community out here embraces everybody. It doesn't matter what you got, you know what I mean? And it's just a good community to live in over here, and we want to do more great things for the community. When we have that unorganized, they have a big car show in August, and that falls on a Sunday, I believe. And usually on Friday night, we'll have the unofficial San Pedro Cruise Night. On Saturday, they have a dance and a sock hop kind of deal for the club, and then on Sunday they have a big show. The Legends Car Club out here has approximately 600 cars that show up in San Pedro. Now you talk about an economic impact on the gas stations and the restaurants during, after, and before those shows. There's nothing great than a community can do but embrace the car culture within their community, and it's a great family fun time for everybody. It's over at the beach at the Point Furman park over here, and it's a great thing over here. Everybody gets along, and it's a great deal. So you see some of the baddest cars throughout California, LA, and the harbor area all coming together, just hanging out. So, and you got the Italian lowriders there too, you know.
Hey, Shake.
Yeah.
You see the movie Rush Hour 2?
Yeah.
When they go to that Chinese restaurant, I can't think of what the guy's name is. But he says to him, you a black man owning a Chinese restaurant on Crenshaw. You know what that actor's name is? Don Cheadle? Or something like that? I don't know his name. But that's how you're going to be dressed. You're going to have one of those shirts with your hands in your sleeves. Have a nice little... little Chinese woman taking care of your feet, and you're going to be speaking Chinese by the time you get to my house. It's 40 minutes from the airport to my house. I'm going to need a translator to translate your Chinese to English. That's how bad she's going to take care of you.
Oh, you crazy. You crazy.
I can make that happen. Talking to me in Chinese, I'll be saying, what'd he say? An hour ago, he spoke English. What did you do to him?
And be fluent too.
She gonna make you a special wonton soup. I can hook you up like that, brother.
Bring it on, bring it on. Man.
And flip flop.
Hey
you
man, we
here?
Missed a lot of We missed a lot
we'll
of good races
we'll
today.
Out here. We'll get Tyson
uh-huh.
in some flip flops.
Hey, make sure you put a picture of a Vega on his flip flop.
I'm gonna put it on the bottom so when he walks it leaves a Vega footprint.
Hey, guess what I did to him tonight?
What's that?
I was sitting up talking with him and one of my boys walked past and I spoke to him. And I introduced it to him, and I said, oh, by the way, Tyson, he's got a Vega, too. Tyson said, oh, man, you're going to make me throw up. I just ate a hot dog.
Oh, man. Tyson, you know, I think deep down inside, he loves Vegas. He just likes to mess with us.
Mm-hmm.
You probably painting one right now.
Well, you know he got them little Vegas stock cars in his bedroom.
Oh yeah, yeah. I bet you he's got the whole the Vega
the whole
hot wheels set. Then the Vega drag
yep,
race.
The whole collection.
Oh look. What's up, Mr. One Time?
That's a damn lie. Yeah, she's missing in Vegas. I keep telling you, I don't have a beef burrito. I'm doing 110 trying to make it home.
Is that Mr.
You
Vegas on the phone?
Hey,
that's Mr. Vegas on the phone. How you doing, Mr. Vegas?
Trying to make me pull over, pull up.
That
will make me feel up and throw up.
It might be what's in that cup gonna make you throw up.
What's going on?
Don't blame it on no Vega.
Yeah, I'm blaming on a Vega.
And Tyson, I wish you could have been in, man. We have big swag.
Man, I tried to.
Pastime on here.
I tried to. My phone was getting no signal.
Oh, that's all right, man. Must have been all that rain and the clouds and everything there.
Hey, yeah, you wished it to us and it came, too. We ain't that a fortune to have 90-degree weather like California.
Well, I'll tell you, hey, Shake, I think I sent it to you, too. But that day when it was 91 degrees, I sent it to Tyson. And I told my wife, hold my phone. She said, why? I said, because Tyson's fist is going to come right out through. It's going to hit me in the jaw.
Is that
said,
where
what
you took the picture of the playground, the baseball
it.
Diamond?
What's that?
Was that the one where you sent the baseball diamond?
No, he sent the on his phone. And had the weather map on his phone telling him how hot it is in California.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I got that one.
Say 91.
I deleted it. I deleted
it. You ain't right. Let me grab a line. 708-1764. Who's this?
Oh man, I'm just chilling, man. I'm in here rubbing this old tangerine Vega on down, man.
What's up, Jaybird?
What's up, baby boy? What's happening, fellas? I'm just rubbing on tangerine right now.
You got a bad baby oil.
She's just nice and ripe right now.
Dude, you got to tell me this one. Answer me this one question. Any chance I could talk you into bringing that Buick out here to California?
Oh, man.
Oh,
man. Hey, listen, what you trying to get it, a suntan? You trying to get it a little darker?
That car's got me written all over it, man. I'll tell you what, Jay. I'm going to give you the same deal that I told Shake, man. You bring that car out here, you be going back to Detroit speaking Chinese. Because I'm going to get four Chinese women for you to take care of you.
Hold on. You just cussed me out, man. You mean Chicago. Not Detroit.
No, I gave that deal to Shake.
Oh.
In Detroit.
Oh.
I know where you're at, baby.
I thought that our Detroit branch would be Kevin, you know. so we got to hold it down 360 degrees around, man.
Hey, man, guess what, man?
What's happening?
We had Brett Wagner from Pastime on the show tonight.
Oh, yeah, I just came on. I heard a little of that. Sure did.
Yeah, man. He's still texting, man. What a great dude, man. I'm going to work with him and see about getting track out in Fontana. We get some girls racing out here in Cali.
Yeah, man, you gotta work on that branch out there, man. You gotta work on that sunny branch there.
And listen, Jay,
yeah.
We don't go to Kansas.
I think I'm going too, man. I don't know if I'm gonna pull my hot rod, but I know I'm going.
Oh,
I don't
listen,
know. I might
take
my hot rod.
Hey,
when
Tyson,
is it?
You want to come down for a Vegas shootout? You're typing speeches now. Yeah, I'm gonna take the car out. I'm gonna bring the Vega out
to Kansas.
Yeah.
When is that race?
June 27th and 28th at Kansas International Raceway.
That can be possible. Because I'm trying to make a little Tony race with it. But that can be possible.
Isn't Tony's race in July?
Yeah.
July 26th.
His is in July. I was trying to get it together for his race.
Oh, okay.
And you say June what, Dale?
I'm going to go. I'm taking the Vega to this Vega shootout in Kansas, June 27th and 28th.
I might try to make that one. I might load the old hot rod up if it's complete by then.
Hey, yeah, it's pretty good. I was talking to some of the guys about it.
Mhm.
I'll give it a whirl.
Even if I don't bring the hot rod, I'm going.
I don't think there's any limits either. I got to read that flyer. I haven't read that flyer. But I just got the invite, and then a guy texted me if I was coming, and I told him I was.
Uh-huh.
And then he started texting other people about it, and then I've been getting all these messages. Are you coming? Yeah, I'm coming. I said I was.
Yeah, if you say you coming, you coming.
That's it, man. I told him Don't ask me twice. Don't make me mad where I stay at home.
No, they don't have to ask you twice.
So I think it'll be fun.
What's that word they use? Consider it done.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be there.
How's that hot rod doing, man?
It's doing good. You know, it's going straight. Can't keep the front end down. but it's going straight. So,
I told you to put them limiters on now.
Yeah, I know. I got to. But, you know, I can't say no to those photo ops.
I know, right?
Card looks good in them pictures.
Hey, you all good as long as you don't smash the oil pan or the headers.
Well, that's already been done. The headers.
But
the headers didn't come from coming down from the wheelie. It came down from going through the eighth mile. You know, little roller coaster loops. And I tagged the exhaust there. That's why I don't go to Irwindale anymore. You know, for the most part, Matt, it's running hard. I got Vegas May 24th to the 26th.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so we'll see what it's going to do there.
Yeah, man.
Because that track is 2 to 4 tenths slower than anywhere else I go. So if
Why
I get
you
my
think
car
that
run
is?
Good in Vegas, I know it's going to step if I go somewhere else.
You think because of the air?
Yeah, it gets, or the heat. You know, when it's hot out there and then the elevation, it creeps up to about 5,000 feet with the heat and naturally is. I think the track level is 2,100 feet. You play with the heat and the air and all that stuff, it goes off the hook.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. But if we get this track at Terminal Island, I'm telling you, man, when I tell you it's at sea level, you'll get some of the spray of the water coming up into the carburetor if you're not careful.
Wow.
You about 10 feet away from the water. That's how close it is.
Wow. Wow.
Talk about water injection, baby.
Wow, man. Anybody, any updates on Milan?
We got rained out.
For 15,
oh, it did?
Dr. Pepper and
Hey, Shake.
Yeah.
It's all That's done it. There, right?
Yeah, it's just a couple people still here. The lights out. We didn't get a chance to see no big races, man. Wayne didn't get a chance to run, him and Chemo. We seen a couple with Mark Crank. I don't even think Gold Digger got the big one off yet. Yeah, we got shorthanded today.
I was gonna take off late early today and come. I was like, man, I think it's gonna rain.
What time was that you was talking about taking off?
Shit, I was gonna leave at 10 in the morning.
But it was raining. It didn't clear up until right around about 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry.
Wow.
What's it doing?
Huh?
I didn't hear that. What's it doing?
I say it didn't clear up because it rained. It was raining early this morning, 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock this morning, and it was sprinkling all morning. Some of the guys from Chicago got here and just parked, but it didn't clear up. The sun didn't start peeking out until around about 2:33, somewhere around there. But it started getting warm around about
3:34.
Mm-hmm. Hey, wait, listen, I got a text right now. I got to address this text. I don't want to embarrass her or anything. I wish I had a deeper voice to talk in so I could really talk sexy to her. But just know I'm thinking inside my head. There you go.
That ain't
I didn't even get a shout.
That ain't, That ain't one of the Chinese girls, is it?
Oh, no, this one's way better than Chinese girl.
Hey, Tail. Did you make any announcement about, what's his name, Mr. Shiro Chevelle being stolen?
No, I didn't. Mark Michiro?
Did you hear about that?
No, his Chevelle?
Yeah, the green meanie, I guess they call it.
It got stolen from where?
Out on they took the trailer and everything in Gardena the other night.
Get the fuck out.
No, I was just wondering if you knew about that or if you made the announcement. It was all over Facebook. I don't think you didn't see it, huh?
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
They got
his trailer and they got the Chevelle. So it's out
wow.
there. So everybody keep their eyes peeled. I seen it on the cruising for the Orange County Cruise for the Cure site. I mean, people have been posting it all over the place. You know. So you know, guys, keep their eyes out here in the California area, looking for. I believe it was is it a 70 Chevelle? Do you know what year it is?
71, I think.
71. You know which car I'm talking about, right?
Mark's kid was driving it for a while.
Yep, that's it.
I think his wife was going to start driving it.
Yeah, I was talking to him today at the Edelbrock show, and I think his wife was going to enter it in Super Street or something like that.
Yeah,
and,
something like that.
Yeah, and, you know, it's gone now, so, you know, it's probably going to be a shame of what's going to happen because they're probably going to cut the damn car up, whoever has it, you know. So... I don't know. It's just unfortunate that somebody that works so hard like that family has to have their stuff ripped off like that from somebody else, you know? It's not cool.
I know. That's tough.
It's not cool.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you, nothing's more worse than a pissed off Hawaiian. And trust me, if he catches wind who took it, I feel sorry for him.
Oh, yeah. Him and his brothers, and they were at the Edelbrock show today, and they had the Roadster they have.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had it out there for display and everything. They signed the petition, too, to bring back Terminal Island Raceway. I mean, more good dudes there. Another good group of guys right there, man. You know, real, real good peoples right there, man. I don't know them too much. I know that him and Bronco and Mexican Gary and them guys are pretty much a staple in a crew over at Irwindale. They're always over there together, you know. And yeah, that's I know him from Bronco and them. And then, you know, we just got to talking a little bit. And he was telling me, and I asked him, you know, I went up to him, hey, any word on your car yet? And he's like, no. But, you know, chances are someone's probably going to cut that shit up, you know. So that sucks. But, hey.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it is. So I'm just wondering if you knew that.
What up, Bill? Hello?
Luke? I'm still here.
Hello?
Wow. I'm just surprised, man. Shoot. Well, I hope that comes up, man.
Oh, yeah.
Before
Hello?
It gets chopped up.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I just got a message from Brett on Facebook.
Thank you.
So thanks, bro. Had a good time.
The money go.
What's that? Some background noise right now. Hey, Jay, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still hanging on.
So, Jay, what's going to happen with that Buick, man? How many white women is it going to take for me to get that car out of your hands?
No.
Puerto Ricans.
Oh, well, I don't know. Well, now, I don't know.
I need that car. I need that car because I need to go to Minnesota and pick something up.
Oh my God. I don't know, buddy. What you going to pick up? Who got the background noise?
I got some background noise somewhere. Yeah, there's something really important I need to pick up in Minnesota, man. That car will make me look good. See, I gotta find that noise.
We gotta find the noise, man.
Tyson.
Somebody got an open phone.
I'm sorry, I'm going on mute. I'm on mute.
Yeah, okay, babe. All right.
What you got to pick up in Minnesota, man?
It's something I need to pick up in Minnesota real bad.
What is it, man? Tell us. Share the world.
A G-body.
This is like
a G-body? Why would you do something?
No, listen.
You're picking up the best thing for him, a G-body.
Listen. This isn't the G-body that you guys are thinking of.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I think she should call in is what I think she should do.
Oh, boy.
She might be shy.
Tell her to come out of the bushes. No, you know she in there.
Listen, I got to tell the story. It's funny. Now, this is my very first girlfriend. Now, get this. She's a few weeks older than me. She had her driver's license before me. And I couldn't drive my car. So she would have to come to my house. And we'd leave in my car. And she's the only person other than myself to ever drive that car that I still have today. How do you like
Damn.
That one?
Damn.
That's slow Vega.
It's not a Vega.
No wonder why she went to G-Bodies. I know.
Man, you need to quit.
Hey, you see one G-Body, you see them all.
Oh, not like this one.
That's the same thing I see about a Vega.
Nah, you don't see them.
I can't laugh at a Vega shootout.
Jake, did you see Tyson in a Vega shootout? Everyone is, why is that guy up there with that red cup in his hand laughing his ass off like he's seeing something funny?
I'd be laughing my ass off, too.
Yeah, okay.
No, man, hey, that car would get me to Minnesota, man. I'd be rolling.
Hey, listen, man. You don't need to take that. You don't need to take that to Minnesota, man. You need snow tires, man. You gotta have some snow tires, man.
Car, does it have a
455
in it?
Huh? Somebody got a phone in their pocket.
I think it might be Tyson. Listen, man. She's out there by Brainerd. I can take a couple passes in the car.
No, that ain't me, Tayo. I'm on mute. That ain't me.
Okay.
What's that?
Are you moving around?
Yeah, I'm walking. Hold on.
Okay, no, it's okay. I just want to know where it's at.
How's it now?
We're all good now.
All right. I was walking. I just got out of my car right now. I just parked my Honda, and I rolled up my window, and I put my arm in with my Chevy tattoo on my forearm.
Sometimes I'm at the spotlight, at the stoplight in that thing, and I'm sitting there and I see people looking over at me and they start laughing. And I'm wondering, what the hell are they laughing at? And I remember it's my Chevy tattoo hanging out of my work car window on my Honda. My little Honda Civic, the money maker.
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
Did that car have a 455 in it?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes,
my God.
Hey, man, that car smelled brand new. He bought it out of a museum. It was in a museum, and he bought it. He just I had to take it to
California.
He wouldn't have those. No, he wouldn't have those red striped tires on it. He put on it.
The red lines.
The red line. Yep. Yeah, that car, man, is brand new. You see, I took the undercarriage.
Yeah.
Man, it's unbelievable. It sounds so good, man. Oh, man. Man, that car.
Now, where's it going?
Huh?
Where's it going?
I took it to his house. It went from the shipper. I picked it up from the shipper, and I took it directly to his house.
Damn.
Hey, it was a semi. It was a semi. It was a semi. That's a nice car, man. That sun gun, so, man, it's unbelievable how clean and smell new. He said it was set in the museum. He bought it in St. Louis, some museum in St. Louis. It had like 20-some thousand miles on it.
Do you watch that show Fast and Loud?
Oh, sometimes.
Did you see the episode a couple of weeks ago where the Firebirds, they were the number one and two that rolled off the assembly line?
No, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, they're trying to pass those cars for $500,000 for each.
Wow.
They're just regular Firebirds. 352 barrels in them. I'd like to see the moron pay $500,000 for that car.
Man, that's just because of that number, one and two.
Yeah, that don't mean shit to me.
Yeah, right? You got some collectors, that means a whole lot to them.
That's that one and two are, but they're just regular cars. One's a convertible. I mean, they don't even have factory air. They said they were cars that they rolled off, and they became showcase cars.
Wow.
Out on the rotisseries and spin. And usually after that, they junked them.
Wow.
I mean, I know it's impressive to have the first two Firebirds roll off the assembly line.
Oh, yeah.
But shit. $500,000?
I wish I had it.
Fucking car. That car better make me breakfast in the morning.
Hey, man. Listen. I would have gave it to him for $200,000.
Are you serious? $500,000 for the Firebird?
That's what they were saying, because they were the number one and two cars.
Yeah, that'd have been one and two cars I took to the scrapyard, too.
I think I had the cash in.
Whatever. Well, fellas, listen, man, my timer's gone off, and I got to end the show because my daughter is looking at me at the top of the stairs and want to know when I'm coming up to watch the Disney Channel.
Oh, boy. Well, you got to go watch the Disney Channel.
I got to make her happy.
Yes, sir.
But, real quick, man, I want to thank Big Swag, Brett Wagner, for calling in. And I got a funny feeling he's going to be a regular guest on the show because he's texted me, had a lot of fun, and wants to do it again.
That's what's up.
So, hey, Shake.
Yeah.
We may have a new a new seat at the oval table.
That's what I'm talking about.
Now we got the oval table going on because we just got more people. The round table just got too full.
Well, Big Swag is at the head of the table.
Hell yes, he is. Now, he's a great guy, and I'm happy that he called in. Well, hold on one sec. Wait, before we got someone else who wants to chime in. 773-3969. Mic's open. Hello?
Hello?
773-3969. Hello?
He's there.
Again. 733-3969. Your mic's open.
Hello?
Man, what is going on with these people?
Oh, they hit the one button. So I opened up their mic.
Oh, even they forgot their number.
That's your card.
773-3969.
This
number looks familiar.
Someone in Chicago.
That's East Side Strangler.
Is it? No, that's not East
Side.
We on
the road, man. We on the road.
Who is this?
Who is that? Terrell?
This is the East Side Strangler.
What is? We
on the road.
What's going on, baby? Where you been at?
Man, we got a bad connection.
Y'all are in Michigan, right? You driving out of Michigan?
Yeah, we on the road now, headed back to the east side.
Oh. You got all that rain?
Yeah.
Who you got with you?
Man, we got the whole Strangler posse in the van.
Hey man, how come you didn't call Cadillac and borrow that Escalade?
Man, we tried to get him to go, man. He MIA today, man.
Oh, okay. Hey,
okay,
you guys gonna be all in style in that Escalade?
Man, we had some food on the grill for him and everything.
But he didn't show?
No, sir.
He laying on his stomach.
Oh, I didn't tell man. I didn't say that. Don't tell me.
Put his mouth open.
Oh, geez. Well, you know, it is raining there, man. And he probably don't want to get that Escalade all wet.
It might have been chemo trailer.
Damn.
Do you have a good time out there, man?
Man, I got to give it up to Young Money, man. Young Money Racing showed us some real good hospitality last night and today, man. They even cooked for us, man. Provided everything for us. Little Tony Wayne, everybody. I mean, big up to Detroit today, man. They really looked out, even in light of all the rain and everything. It was still good fellowship, as Uncle Larry would say.
That's what's
good
up.
Good deal, man. Did Uncle Larry make it out?
I didn't see him. I didn't see him.
Hey, Jay, do you see Uncle Larry at all in Chicago?
No, I'm looking for him too, man. I called him yesterday. He ain't answered. So somebody got to find him and tell him to give me a holler.
Hey, Eastside, do you see Larry at all?
I see him every now and then. I know he's going to be popping his head up soon. He might
do me a favor, man.
Yeah, you see him all the time.
Do me a favor, babe.
I know.
You see,
we got. Go ahead.
When you see Larry, give him a big hug and a kiss on the cheek. Tell him that's for me, and tell him I love him.
I don't know about all that now, Tayo. That's gonna tell you.
I was waiting for him to say okay.
That's the thing.
What happened to all the fellowshipping?
Hey, the fellowshipping could be a handshake, man, or a head nod.
Hey.
He just stopped me right there.
But you got to watch out for these Italians over here. They give you hugs, and sometimes you don't come back after they give you one of them hugs.
You know? And you better check your back pocket for a wallet.
And usually when they kiss you, that's going to be the kiss of death that they're handing out.
Yeah, oh, you don't sleep with the fish.
Yeah, you're going to be sleeping with the fishes after that. With some flip-flops on.
Like Gucci on the Sopranos, huh? Hey, where's Jamie at, man?
I'm here.
He's here.
Hey, Jamie, man. You know I'm a G-body extraordinaire. Why all the low shots to the G-bodies all the time?
Hey, man, it's all out of love. See, let me tell you how it's all out of love. I even watched the store while y'all was gone.
Hey, I appreciate that.
I looked over there, and I seen the truck tucked down there. I said, them old boys didn't hit the highway. They left me. So I got to watch the store until they get back.
Man, we appreciate that. Tell that German Shepherd I got to watch the store, too. That'd be home
for
a couple of hours. Huh?
Hey, but I don't know. It might have been some hanky-panky going on. I seen two girls and a guy come up out of there. So they might have some hanky panky was going on.
Uh-oh. Man, I'm only doing 95 miles an hour in this van right now.
Slow it down, dog.
Hey, we dodging raindrops, son. See, all the rain was in the half sleep. We got Big Sham held hostage in here. So you got that race to step it. You got that race June 7th, but all the stragglers in here sleep, man. I'm behind the wheel, man.
Oh man!
I can't get back quick enough, boy.
Yeah, hey, just turn on some racing on TV and keep it moving.
Hey, that's why I'm glad y'all show on, man. It's helping out, I tell you. it's helping out, bro.
Yeah, I wanted to come, man, but I knew it was gonna rain, man.
So,
I got up this morning and grabbed my Celica phone, and it said, rain, rain, rain. So I kept on working.
We've been up there since yesterday, man. We had a good time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, y'all had a ball last night. I already know.
Oh, man.
Hey, I already know. I already know.
That's up. That car,
hate tank.
You seen that car before?
You say what?
You seen that car, hate tank, before?
No, I ain't see it.
And that car moved pretty good.
You talking about that Plymouth?
Yeah.
Yeah, that truck was getting down there, wasn't it?
Man,
wow.
That big truck was moving.
I've been waiting on some footage on Facebook. I ain't seen nothing yet.
Man, there was so many cameras out there and videos. I bet it's going to be loaded by tonight or tomorrow. You know,
yeah.
Everybody got a camera now.
Hey, them Mopar boys, the Mopar boys woke up then, didn't they?
Yes, sir. They was out there. There was a lot of Mopar guys out there. Yeah.
Hey, I know Cal City Cal. I